It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey! How we doing on this fine Wednesday? Evan and Tiki on The Fan. There is a ton to get to. We're a day closer to the start of the NFL season. The Jets are facing something they have never faced in their history. Daniel Jones is walking around like a new man. Week one is more important than you could imagine. And Met fans are giddy, rightfully so. But let's start with the obvious. Let's all admit we have a problem, and then we can address it. The New York Yankees have a ninth inning problem. It has been a problem all season long, to varying degrees. Some of us, some of you, have screamed about it all year long. But last night, deep in the heart of Texas, they hit rock bottom. The Yankees suffered their worst loss of the season, and Clay Holmes became the biggest problem that he's been all year long. So let's just start there. We accept, Teague, that Clay Holmes is a problem,
yes,
correct?
Of course he's been. In fact, we had the Subway Series and Aaron Boone was on. We asked him about Clay Holmes. He said, it'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
It'll be all right.
It'll be all right.
We have confidence in him. I think last night was the last straw.
Well, okay, so let's go to last night. And then we will work towards the future and what the Yankees should do about it. I made the case to you a couple of weeks ago that I wouldn't bury Clay Holmes, but I would treat him differently. And I want to use last night as a specific example. So the Yankees lost last night for a myriad of reasons. It wasn't simply Clay Holmes. Mm-hmm. DJ LeMahieu literally lost a ground ball in the lights. That happened. The offense did nothing against Andrew Haney, who we all know stinks, okay? Gleyber Torres couldn't make the play on a play that he probably should make and turn into a double play. But in the ninth inning, and I'm going to equate this to your wife or your husband, sometimes you get home after a long day of work and you can just tell she's in a mood. And what do you do?
All been there.
We've all been there.
All been there.
That's why I feel this analogy really, really works. So I don't know about you, Teak. If I see my wife is in one of those moods, I avoid her at all costs.
I was going to say, there's a couple of things you could do. One is you go lovey-dovey on her.
You could do that.
And try to butter her up. Hey, do you need anything? What can I help with? Mm-hmm. I'm the same as you. I go in my office, shut the door.
Bingo. And I'm glad you said that because the lovey-dovey thing is not going to work with
this
analogy. So you avoid her. You're like, you know what? Nothing good is going to come out of this.
Yes, when she's ready to talk, she's ready to be okay, I'll be right where you know where I am.
100%. I'm going to avoid her because if I have a conversation, no matter what it's about, it's going to go bad.
Right.
I believe Clay Holmes is very similar to your husband or wife that you could tell is in a bad mood. Mm. When Clay Holmes can't throw strikes and Clay Holmes is bouncing his sinker, he's screwed and subsequently we're screwed. So here's what I would have done differently last night. If you're going to continue, Aaron Boone, to play this game of, you know, Clay Holmes is my best option, gee golly, when he gets Travis Jankowski to ground out to Oswaldo Cabrera, that's great. No complaints. When he gives up a base hit to Carson Kelly on a ground ball up the middle, okay, antenna's up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm not panicking. When Tavera steals second, and then two pitches later, Josh Smith, by the way, you know who Josh Smith is?
No.
You traded his ass for Joey Gallo. True story. When you walk Josh Smith, and now there are two on and one out, and the tying run is in scoring position, and the winning run is at first base, and now you're facing the heart of the Texas batting order, abandon ship.
You get out there and you go to Luke Weaver. Now, I know Luke Weaver is not perfect. Mm-hmm. I know Luke Weaver is not a guarantee. But here's what I've learned. When you know Clay Holmes doesn't have it, when you see Clay Holmes is not throwing strikes, when you see Clay Holmes is laboring, abandon ship. Try something different. So before we get to what they should do tonight or what they should do Friday or what they should do in the ALDS or the wild card series, I go back to last night. And I've said this to you before. He is no longer the guaranteed ninth inning guy. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, you've lost that. Do you get to pitch the ninth inning? Sure. But you don't get to finish it. When there were 2-1 and one out, I'm sorry. I got to make a move. I got to try something. I can't sink with the same sinking ship that I've been sinking with all year long. So before we get to the future, in terms of last night, am I crazy?
No, you're not. And I think, unfortunately for the Yankee fan, you've known this for a long time. You've felt this for a long time. And it's gotten to the point where it almost feels like you know it, but the skip doesn't know it. It's like Aaron Boone ignores what's obviously in front of him. Now, maybe he is right. Maybe Clay Holmes is the best option that they have to close games. And in a traditional form, when your ninth inning closer type guy comes in, you leave him in. You let him get himself out of those situations. But the in our minds, why we hate this is because too many times we've seen him do this exact same thing. Get in a little bit of trouble. In the manager's mind, he's saying he'll figure it out. In our mind, we're saying he's screwing this up. Mm. You know he's screwing this up. And it's been that way now 11 times. Now, they're not all the same, but 11 situations. I know the last two have been this way, where he gets in a little bit of a trouble, and then he doesn't find a way to figure it out. Right? And so when that is happening consistently, you have to do something else. You have to. And Aaron Boone is unwilling to.
No, anything else. Like, the obvious that I think most people want to scream and yell about today, and trust me, we'll get to it, is just simply replacing him and saying he's not the ninth inning guy.
But who is the ninth? My only issue with that is that who are you replacing him
there's
with?
There's no obvious answer, but there are options who have not failed over and over again the way Clay Holmes has now failed. You've got two options returning this weekend into the rotation. You've got Clark Schmidt, who's pitched out of the bullpen before. You have Luis Gil. This would be new for him. You have those two options. You have Nestor Cortez. No one's saying we would love that, but it's an option. And then you've got the guys that are already there. You've got Tommy Kahnle, who pitched earlier in this game and got screwed because DJ LeMahieu, for some reason, was still out there playing first base. You've got Luke Weaver. You've got the combo. I don't like to say bullpen by committee because it's got such like a negative connotation to it, but I got news for everybody.
When you don't have a great one, you kind of have to do it by committee.
Well, and also, they don't have anyone good enough to just be the guy.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes, yeah, you do have to play the matchups. And on a night like last night, like, I'm not screaming that Clay Holmes shouldn't have started the ninth inning. I'm screaming he shouldn't have finished the ninth inning. What I'm telling you is, in last night's case, when he puts a guy on base because he can't throw his freaking sinker for a strike, spoiler alert, he's going to get hammered.
Yeah.
He's going to hang one eventually like Wyatt Langford did. And by the way, if you're saying, it's too quick after he walks Josh Smith, okay, how about when he walks Marcus Semien? How about when the bases are loaded? And if your answer is, well, do you think Luke Weaver's getting a double play? All I know is that's a better option than sinking with Clay Holmes, who just walked back-to-back guys.
Well, it's funny. You say, do you think Luke Weaver's getting a double play? No, but I know Clay Holmes is not.
Exactly. Exactly. It's not that that option is perfect. It's that that option is better.
Yeah.
It's that when you see something is going bad, that's the thing that drove me nuts last night. Yes. Who should replace him? We're going to...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Spend plenty of time on it. Who should be the guy? I get all that. Last night, the Yankees suffered their worst loss of the season. I don't even think it's very close. They're in a pennant race for the American League East. I believe winning the division is damn important.
Yeah.
Very important.
Yeah, and
they dropped out of first place last
night. That's right. The Orioles won, so the Orioles are now half a game above the Yankees.
That's right. And they lost the game for a myriad of reasons. Like I mentioned, Gleyber Torres, DJ LeMahieu, all that, not being able to hit Andrew Haney. But when you see the train is coming at you, we all see the train is coming at us. We all see our wife is in a horrible mood. When she's in a horrible mood, do you go to her face and say, hey, how come you didn't do the laundry today? Hey, how come you didn't pick that up today? Do you go to your husband and say, you didn't make enough money today? You didn't clean after yourself today? Like last night, me and my wife had a little bit of a quarrel. And once I realized it, I said, I'm out, and I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Boone should have realized last night, wow, Clay Holmes can't throw his sinker for a strike. Oh, gee, what should I do? Let me leave him in to give up a grand slam to Wyatt Langford. That's stupid. And that's got to change.
Yeah. And the challenge in our minds is that Aaron Boone is now saying it's still in front of us.
Well, it is.
It's still, you know, we're only a half a game back. We're okay. There's still lots of baseball to play. And he's not wrong. The problem with what Aaron Boone says is that he's not wrong. But the way that he says it makes you feel like he doesn't care. That he doesn't care that Clay Holmes just blew in a very important game that now knocks them out of first place. Not that they're going to stay out of first place because they're likely to find their way, climb their way back in. Baltimore can't put away the Yankees just like the Yankees can't put away Baltimore. But it is what it is. There's still lots of baseball to be played in a sense, 23 games or so. Even if they don't win the division, they're going to be in the playoffs. So it just feels like it's okay. But okay shouldn't be good enough for this team that's supposed to be so much better. And I think that's where we get frustrated, is that mediocrity is not okay in any form if you expect to be a championship-level team.
The problem, Tiki, is the Orioles are right there in front of us, and they should be four or five games behind us.
True.
And frankly, what this season is now boiling down to, it's Clay Holmes, it's DJ LeMahieu, it's all of these problems, Alex Verdugo, it's loyalty. I'm convinced it's loyalty. Aaron Boone loves his core guys,
no
his veteran guys, and it is now at the detriment of losing baseball games. Yesterday shouldn't have been the realization that Clay Holmes can't finish a game. We have had too much evidence of that all season long. It doesn't mean that he can't start closing games and continue with him as closer, but the leash needs to be shorter. Put him in there, short leash, get him out of the game.
What I don't understand, and you're going to use the word loyalty, and it's an interesting word to use. Let's bring up the Baltimore Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
The Baltimore Orioles employ a guy who may end up in the Hall of Fame. I don't believe he is, but Gary Cohn said it endless times 2 weeks ago. Craig Kimbrell may go to the Hall of Fame, not as a visitor, but as an actual Hall of Fame closer. He was the closer for the Baltimore Orioles, and he was actually having a pretty good season. Decent season. Good year. Look at his numbers. He had like a 2-1 ERA in the middle of July. And then Craig Kimbrell started to struggle. He started to not pitch well.
Mm-hmm.
Those good numbers turned into ugly numbers. And very quickly, Brandon Hyde, the young manager of the Baltimore Orioles, made a business decision. He said to that 9-time All-Star, to that potential future Hall of Famer, you're not it anymore.
Mm.
And if you can say that to Craig Kimbrell, you damn sure can say that to Clay Holmes.
Exactly the point. And we now have two pieces of evidence that other teams around the Yankees contending for a World Series have no problem not being loyal like that. Hyde with the Orioles, and when the Astros DFA'd Jose Abreu. These teams are willing to make cutthroat decisions that the Yankees are relying on loyalty. And to that point, that Kimbrell is not Clay Holmes. What was Clay Holmes before we figured out this closing role here with the Yankees? He was a journeyman reliever we hit on, got lucky on. How is he any different, Evan, and I'll throw another name at you, than Jake Cousins with a better ERA right now? Why does Clay Holmes deserve any more of those important outs that guys like that?
No,
he doesn't. Different than.
He gets it because of loyalty.
Exactly.
You're right about
it's
that.
It's killing the team.
Well, it's also, it's Boone being a player's coach. It's Boone being, I got your back. Because he thinks that I got your back is going to come back to, I don't know, be something that these guys rally around. My skip's got my back. My manager's always behind me. I know I went through some tough times, but he's got my back, and that's how I persevered. But that only works if you're good enough to persevere.
Well, yeah.
And right now, Clay Holmes is not good enough to persevere through some of these things. And we all know it. I think his teammates have to know this as well. And they'll all say the right things because they're his teammates. But Aaron Boone doesn't need to.
No.
Aaron Boone's got to do what's right for winning. The bottom line is win or lose. And if you are not helping your team do that, then you have to be replaced in some capacity.
No question.
Or at least amended how you're used.
No question. No one is going to argue that Tommy Canley or Luke Weaver or Jake Cousins or Tim Hill is a magic potion. There is no magic potion. You know what it is? You've got to play the matchups. You've got to keep guys in when they're pitching well. You've got to ride the hot hand, and I hate to use this because this isn't a strategy. You got to hope that someone starts to clear themselves and prove they're the guy for the biggest outs. Like, ask a Met fan right now, and I think this is a good example because I've always said this about relievers, and now the Mets are fully experiencing it. If you ask a Met fan right now, outside of Edwin Diaz, who's your closer, which reliever do you trust the most? The answer today is probably Phil Maton.
Huh.
That's the answer.
Interesting.
Now, it's true. He's pitched well, but where did that come from? Phil Maton had an average to mediocre year. The Mets acquired him. He's pitched really well. That's relievers. That's who Jake Cousins potentially is. That's who Luke Weaver essentially is. And that's who Clay Holmes was, to Sean's point, 2 years ago when they brought him in from Pittsburgh. 3 years ago now. And so you've got to ride the hot hand. There's no easy answer. There's no Mariano Rivera. There's no Edwin Diaz. There's not even an Aroldis Chapman from a few years ago. It's literally giving other people the opportunity to get the biggest outs. And yeah, you've got a couple of returning starters that need to be considered. We need to have conversations about Clark Schmidt and Luis Hill.
Well, we'll have those conversations for sure. Will Aaron Boone have those conversations?
He has
to. Will Brian Cashman be having those conversations internally at Yankee Stadium? If they're not, then they're not serious about winning.
Well, here's why they have to have the conversations now. The New York Yankees are making the playoffs. Spoiler alert. They're going to be in the postseason. Maybe the wild card series, but they're going to be in the postseason. Once you're in the postseason, especially for the first two rounds, you need three starting pitchers. Three. That's it. That's the number. Three, especially because of the off days. So we could argue who those three should be. In fact, it doesn't even matter. Gerrit Cole named two other guys. I don't even care who they are. You want to say Marcus Stroman and Carlos Rodon? You want to go with that?
Yeah.
Is that fine?
That's fine.
Okay. You now have three other starting pitchers who don't have a job for the postseason. They're available now. They're not starting because you've already selected those other guys. Well, they're going to pitch out of the bullpen. Not just going to waste them.
Yeah.
Why not find out right now in September, better time than any, if they can get those outs in the eighth and ninth inning? Why not? Clark Schmidt, and I hate to bring up bad memories, was given that opportunity. He actually failed back in 2022. I don't know if anyone remembers. He was asked to protect the lead against the Cleveland Guardians in Game 3 of the American League Divisional Series, and he blew the game. Oscar Gonzalez got the game-winning hit. I think it was the moment we all felt, wow, the Yankees are going to lose to Cleveland. Yankees came back, won Game 4. They won Game 5 at the stadium. Bada-boom, bada-bang, they're in the ALCS. But Clark Schmidt's done it.
Yeah.
He's had experience. How about Round 2? Luis Hill, that's a very popular name. It's a name we talked about all the way back in March and April as a factor. Let's see. And throw more arms into this mix. Because this with Clay Holmes, ain't working.
Yeah.
And he should no longer be guaranteed the ninth inning, not only guaranteed to start the ninth inning, but as we saw last night, guaranteed to finish the ninth inning. He doesn't earn that anymore. Someone else needs the opportunity to clean up a mess that he created by giving up a base hit and back-to-back walks. And that's got to change, and that's got to change right now.
It's hard to argue that. And the only one that is or will not comment on it is Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone is maybe unwittingly putting pressure on himself regarding his job security. Because when you lose games like this, and it's your decision, not Cashman's decision, not your pitching coach, it's your decision, then you're putting yourself in harm's way for your job.
Mm.
That's what it feels like. Now, again, they're making the postseason, but if this is his MO and he's not going to even experiment with it for the rest of the regular season so that when you get to the postseason, you at least have a clue, of what else you could do besides Clay Holmes, then you're putting yourself in position to fail. And then ultimately, people are going to call for your job.
Well, we'll get plenty of calls today. Maybe it's for Aaron Boone's job. Maybe it's an idea on what the hell they should do now. We'll get your calls next at 888-808-1019. A lot of football to get through as the show rolls on. Now, there are a few ways you can go when your closer sucks and your team blows a game. You can look back at all the mistakes your general manager made. You can go back to the offseason. I remember we had a debate right here on the show, Sean and I. I was screaming they need to go sign Josh Hader. And Sean said, no, the bullpen's fine. It's always fine. And I said, all right, well, I disagree with you. You go back to the trade deadline. Tanner Scott, Jason Adam. Name any other reliever you wanted to go after that they didn't go get. But the truth is none of that matters anymore. But here's what's weird and I think very difficult for Yankee fans to get used to. Excluding 2020, because I don't think that's a fair representation of a baseball season. Here are the New York Yankees' bullpen ERA ranks over the years. 6th, 1st, 3rd, 4th, 9th, 4th, and 3rd. They have had a top-end bullpen forever. Mm-hmm. In fact, the last time they haven't had a top-end bullpen was all the way back in 2016. That was the pre-Aaron Judge era, and that was when the Yankees weren't even in a pennant race. They actually sold off their best relievers at the trade deadline. This season, though, they are 12th in bullpen ERA. And so what we're seeing here, and that, by the way, that's not 30th, that's not 27th, but it's clearly not to the success level that Brian Cashman has built over the last 5 years. And I wonder if there was a little bit of an arrogance, not just from Cash, but from all of you, of, well, the Yankees always have a good bullpen. Well, we'll be fine.
Well, Evan, they do always have a good bullpen, but it's not about the bullpen necessarily, it's about the closer.
I disagree with you, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why it's related. If you have a better bullpen, you have better options. And you don't. You have okay options. You don't have great options. That's part of the problem. It's a part of why we're talking about converting starting pitchers to bullpen arms, because they don't have great options.
Well, I think it's also, like, there's certain, I think, like, romanticization of what a closer should look like. He should have electric stuff. He should be able to dial it up to, who's the guy? We were looking at it on social media.
Ben Joyce,
86, 86, 106.
Yeah.
Right? Like
he'll be hurt in six months.
Of course he will. But in our minds, that's how we romanticize it when we think about baseball. We have a closer who you can't touch. I don't care how good you think you are, our closer is going to dominate you. But baseball is not that necessarily anymore, because there's just not that many pitchers that can dominate like that. I mean, Edwin Diaz did for a year, 2 years ago, but it's rare, right? They can do it consistently. And so, like the rest of baseball, the closing situation needs to evolve. It needs to evolve to analytics. Hey, if we have we're facing a team that has a super high ground ball rate, you know what? Clay Holmes is all right. Mm. If we're facing a team that has these launch angles and everything else that portend home runs, you know, probably Clay Holmes is probably not the right guy. And so find someone else. There's a different way to do it using advanced metrics that you would think the Yankees would do, because it's all they talk about, or at least that's all how we believe they operate, is with these metrics and putting their lineups out and everything else. But in this case, they're being stubborn. They're being stuck in an old school mentality that's costing them games.
But now, part of that stubbornness is, I think, Boone's looking at other options and saying, I don't trust them either. A part of why he hasn't made the change is I don't think he trusts Luke Weaver or Tommy Kahnle.
Yeah, but for us, as viewers of this, and again, we don't matter. Ultimately, it's whether or not they win, and it's going to be on him. They lose because of him, it's on him. They win because of him, it's on him. But from our standpoint, it's gotten to the point with 11 blown saves, and this one was gross, where you just say, okay, great, try something else,
yes,
though.
Yeah, we're at the try something else zone. That's where we're at. We're at the you better do something else. And the timing is perfect because Clark Schmidt and Luis Gil are coming back. They're both scheduled to be in the rotation, Luis Gil on Friday, Clark Schmidt on Saturday, Nestor Cortez backing them up. You know, if one guy struggles or has a high pitch count, Nestor would kind of clean up the mess of either arm, and then they're going to go six-man rotation one turnaround. That's the plan as of now. And I think what they've got to do is say, we need more options to fix this mess that's in the back end of our bullpen.
Yeah, and to me, we've talked about this a lot, but it's Luis Gil. And mainly because of what I was just alluding to. He's the one guy who you could throw in there who might not be the option in your starting rotation come the postseason, who can dial it up to 98.
Now, I think Clark is similar, though, and he's done it before.
Yeah.
Which I know he didn't do it great in the postseason in 2022, but this isn't a video game. Oh, or fantasy. Let's just stick the guy in the bullpen. It'll work. Mm-hmm. Like, can Luis Hill pitch back-to-back days? Can he?
I don't know.
How's he going to respond to max effort? You're going to throw 25. Like, we don't know. That's why you need to find out now. Like, no one's saying it's a lock that Luis Hill or Clark Schmidt would be effective in that role, but you need to give yourself more options right than just Jake Cousins, Tommy Kahnle, or dare I say, running Clay Holmes out there every single time, knowing the result.
Don't poo-poo the Jake Cousins thing, by the way. He's got a better strikeout per nine, a better ERA. Jake Cousins has more closer stuff than Clay Holmes and is no different than Clay Holmes is. I really think that's the guy more than Hiller Schmidt.
That's the first guy you want to give a shout to?
I really do.
Imagine the Yankees win a World Series and the guy getting the final out is Kirk Cousins' cousin.
But ignore the fact that his family member can't win in prime time. I'm as stunned as anybody. Jake Cousins has emerged as that guy.
No,
and to me, has earned that right, including last night.
Look, there's nothing weird about it. That's why I brought up Phil Maton earlier. All of a sudden, Met fans love Phil Maton. Why? Because he's a reliever pitching well. And sometimes those things are fleeting. Like, for a while, Jose Buto was awesome. Now he can't throw a strike.
Yeah.
Like, that's relievers.
And also, watch your smugness about they should have signed Josh Hader and this, that, the other. Remember, their secondary closing option was lost for the year in week one with Johnny Loaisiga, too. That was the backup plan.
But that's a part of what happens with bullpen.
I understand, but I can't crush them for the offseason when they had their 1B plan and then it got blown up within 1 week of the season.
Let's get to your calls, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Kyle in West Orange, New Jersey. How you doing, Kyle?
Hey, guys. How's it going? For the first time as a Yankee fan, I actually agree 100% with Evan. He's right. And I want Evan to be my next general manager. How about that?
Oh, geez, right?
But this is the deal.
Yeah.
Evan's absolutely right. When Holmes walked in on that mound, I said, dude, don't blow it. Please don't blow it. And I saw it. I saw it, the train coming, like Evan was talking about. And so did Boone. Because if you see Boone's face in the dugout, he just was like, oh, God, what did I do? Because I should have taken him out. You need to start doing that. And the thing about with Yankee fans, when I'm unsettling, is that it's like we don't have an answer to this. We're in September now. My kids went to school for the first time, Tiki.
I know.
They're in school.
Right.
And this is driving me crazy.
Right.
This is a question mark? We're Yankees. We should know who's what in our bullpen. And we don't know who it is.
Right. It's cool. You're already back in school. You had a whole summer. The pool is closed.
Deep breath.
It's too cold outside in the mornings now. But somebody's getting in the pool.
Can I calm Kyle down for a second? And can I calm everyone down? I know it's September 4th. I get it. We're a month away from the postseason. Ideally, every role would be figured out. But bullpens don't make sense sometimes.
Mm.
And it's not crazy that your new formula to get the final three outs of a game could be something so unique from what you thought it would have been a month and a half ago. That's okay. But what you need to do is try something different.
Yeah.
And I think that's what every Yankee fan is asking for. We may differ on what the difference is. We may differ on just name this guy your closer. Sean seems to be endorsing Jay Cousins. I'm more of a bullpen by committee, play the matchup kind of guy. We've got a lot of move Clark Schmidt. You're saying move Luis Hill. What we can all agree on, though, is this plan of attack of just running Clay Holmes out there, letting him fail and doing nothing about it, that's got to stop. That's got to stop. You're allowed to take a guy out in the middle of an inning once they face three batters. And last night, the signs were there. Now, I didn't think, and this is where I'll differ from Sean and maybe some Yankee fans on this, when the Yankees allowed the Rangers to come back in the game, okay, because it's 4-1, it's the bottom of the eighth inning, you're feeling damn good about things, they finally broke it open against the Texas bullpen, and you're up in this game 4-1. Even when their bullpen, backed by bad Yankee defense, allowed Texas back in the game, I didn't necessarily think they were going to lose. When Tim Hill struck out Jonah Heim with guys on base, I was like, all right. Clay has pitched well recently, so I wasn't convinced, like, before he walked in, he was going to blow it. It's once the inning started and I saw the mood he was in,
yeah,
kind of like the mood your wife or her husband's in, I knew, uh-oh, this isn't good.
Oh, shame on you, Evan. every Yankee fan, the moment that thing went to the ninth inning, knew, oh, this is Clay Blowitt time. It just had that feel.
But he's pitched, I know the last night or 2 nights ago he wasn't pitching great, but he had like 5 consecutive scoreless outings.
Evan, I understand, but look at all of his blown saves. Yeah. Outside of like 2 that got strung together back to back, you had moments like this where he went 5-6. He was, as we like to say in the business, due. And the whole game had that feel, especially in the 8th inning. Oh, by the way, Tim Hill extremely bailed out by horrible umpiring on that strikeout to end the inning before, too, with 2 pitchers way out of the strike zone. That is a spot we just knew Clay Holmes was blowing the game. I could have shut it off and went to bed and knew what I was waking up to. That is exactly the momentum that was there. And that's the story of Clay Holmes this year.
He's due. He saved 3 games in a row and he was due. That's the kind of year he's having.
No, but that's the truth. I don't even think that's like some kind of crazy hot take.
By the way, you know what works sometimes? Hey, honey, you want a glass of wine?
Oh, boy. That may work with honey. It's not working with Clay Holmes.
I mean, maybe.
When you see his mood, when you see his sinker being bounced in the dirt, trust me, that's not helping.
I'll buy you a bottle of wine. Just don't mess it up.
You know what else works, too?
Oh, shut up.
Oh, my God.
Not my house.
Jeez. We'd never try that. Do you try that in your home, Luke?
No, my wife's the best. We don't even have to argue over it.
I think she does it to
him.
She
does it, right.
Yeah. Let's go to Julian and Baldwin. How you doing, Julian?
Yo, what's good, boys?
All's good.
What's up, man?
Well, unless you're a Yankee fan, but otherwise, it's all good.
No, it's not going good for me since last night, bro.
Right.
You know, every week, it feels like there's a new worst loss of the season. That's so frustrating. Last week, it was a bad loss last week. I can't even remember, but every week, there's a new bad loss, bro. Clay Holmes, I hate you. I cannot stand his face, his stupid little face. His walk, when it comes to Clay Holmes on Kendrick Lamar, bro, he sucks. I hate him. Send him to North Korea, bro. I'm done with him.
All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, he threw out some serious heat.
You know why that's a great phone call, though? I think that helped him. I think Julian's going to have a better day
right
now. Yeah. Like, sometimes you just got to get that off your chest.
Right. And by the way, that's another option. Just yell at me, honey. just scream and yell. I'll take it. It's all good.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to.
It's my fault. Even though I know it's not, even though you don't say it. It's my fault. Just scream at me.
I have checked the whole house inside and out before addressing my wife before to see what could I have possibly done. Oftentimes, nothing.
But the best course of action, get the hell out.
No, I
don't deal with it.
I do.
Let the storm end. Mm-hmm. Let the storm end, and you come out after the storm is over and say, okay. You check out the wreckage.
Right.
And it's like, how are things doing?
Right. But just make sure you're not in that eye. It's just calm. And you're like, oh, phew.
Yeah.
I'm good now.
And yesterday.
And next thing you know, you get the back end of it.
That's right. And yesterday, the eye of the storm was a hanger right there for Wyatt Langford. It's funny when Julian said, every week there's a new worst loss of the season. Mm. And Met fans have said that all year long. That's why what I've done this year is I've kept a chart of bad losses to remind myself how bad it was and how I felt. But I would say off the top of my head, the other loss that jumped out as worst loss of the year was the loss at the Little League field against the Tigers.
Yeah.
That's up there as
it's up
worst
there.
Loss of the year.
The Yankees will not have a worse loss than the final game before the All-Star break because it was versus the Orioles and Verdugo and Volpe threw up all over each other.
I do agree, and that was the other one I was going to mention. You had 2 bad defensive plays against the Orioles, final game before the All-Star break.
On Roku.
They had won the first 2 games of the series, and they had a chance to go to the All-Star break up a game, and so there was a 2-game swing.
Yeah.
So you're right, like there's a variation on worst losses of the year, but I said this recently on the Rico, and I think it fits the Yankees as well. The later in a season it goes, the worse it gets, because the games feel more important. And look, I know some Yankee fans may not share this opinion, but I definitely have the opinion that winning this division is a big deal. I don't minimize it. I don't think, whatever, I'm in the playoffs either way. I don't view it that way. I think winning the division and skipping that wild card round and having potentially home field advantage throughout the American League postseason, something they have not had in more than a decade, that matters. And if you agree that that stuff matters, then losses like last night against a crappy Texas team, completely unacceptable. You have a 3-run lead in the 8th inning against the Rangers, and you lost.
But it's par for what we've been talking. We talked about this yesterday, how the Yankees sometimes just... And this is not the Yankees in total, because we're talking specifically about Clay Holmes right now. But they lose to some bad teams.
They've done a remarkable job of losing to bad teams.
Right.
Yep.
The Detroit series they lose. The National series they lose. They lose last night in terrible fashion.
Right? It just
And then they go beat the Cleveland Guardians 2 out of 3.
Right.
They have fared, we gave these numbers yesterday, their record against teams above 500 is really, really good. Their record against teams under 500 is incredibly mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
They have been this weird enigma. But the funny thing about last night is Clay Holmes will get all the attention here on this radio station. We've spent a lot of time talking about it. Everybody has. They did other things that contributed to the loss. Like, I can't get over the DJ LeMahieu play. That play just boggles my mind because for three reasons, okay? Reason number one, I played first base back in my day.
Oh.
I could make that play right now.
Your lead digger, huh?
That's right. Right now, if you stuck me at first base for the New York Yankees and that little chopper was coming to me, I can promise you this, I wouldn't have lost it in the lights. Mm. So that's number one. When a Major League Baseball player makes a miscue that someone as unathletic as me is confident they would make, that's problem number one. Here's problem number two. Anthony Rizzo needs to be on the baseball field
mm-hmm.
when it is late and you want better defense. Aaron Boone loves defense. We all love defense. Anthony Rizzo is a Gold Glove caliber first baseman. DJ LeMahieu is not. And then number three, why the hell wasn't Anthony Rizzo playing to begin with like we talked about yesterday? And so those three things drove me nuts. The Gleyber play didn't even bother me as much because it was like a typical, yeah, of course Gleyber to make that play. Like, you stunned by that? Yes, it would have been nice if he eat it in his pocket and turned a double play, but it was one of those like, eh, it's a bad play, but it's not as bad as the DJ play. And then we can't forget the fact that they couldn't hit Andrew Haney for 5 years. I mean, what are you doing there?
But that's baseball. Sometimes you just, they're cold.
That's baseball.
It is. Sometimes you just can't hit.
That's baseball. You let Andrew Haney, who sucked as a Yankee, he was, and I do think that makes it worse. I tell me if I'm wrong here.
No, I agree.
Thank you. Okay, if Andrew Haney had never, ever resided in the Bronx and never had pinched for the New York Yankees, and he was just your random lefty that bounced around the league, we'd be frustrated, but it wouldn't be like end of the world. The fact he came to the Bronx and was a human hitting machine, like he would come into games and throw freaking batting practice, and now he goes out there for the Texas Rangers and throws 5 innings against you
mm-hmm.
and looks pretty damn good, that makes it worse. That's just me.
Yeah. But that's not what anybody's mad about.
No, I know. Well, they can be.
I know, but they're not going to be.
Let's go to Jeff in Manhattan. What's up, Jeff? Hello, Jeff. Jeff going once. Jeff going twice. Jeff is gone. We'll go to Donna in Huntington. How you doing, Donna?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I listen to you guys every single day. But now I got to pick my grandkids up. They're coming out. I can't really give my point except Frankenstein has to go. That's my point. That's it.
Well, thank you, Donna. You're a great, yes. wonderful grandmother that yes. you're paying attention to the kids that you're picking up. And we're sorry we didn't go to you earlier, because then she could have gone on further about how Clay Holmes oddly looks like Frankenstein.
Yeah, that's on Loogie. Put that on Loogie.
No, put that on Loogie.
You should have told us that Donna was waiting in the pickup line to pick up the kids from school.
I'm also very jealous of Donna, because my kids have still not started school. Like, what the hell are we waiting for?
Tomorrow.
So Wednesday after Labor Day, and they're still at home. Like, yeah. I don't understand it.
What kind of district are you living in?
I mean, I think a good one.
Similar one like me. I already had to help with homework last night.
Oh. Wow. Mm. They giving out homework in preschool?
Were you confused?
Yeah. I don't want to admit this, but yes. I have found myself sort of confused.
I was like, this is not how they teach math. Yeah. This is not correct.
Well, at preschool, I thought it was all about just not picking your nose. No, it's more advanced. One thing I've learned about schools is they're teaching you a lot more. But sometimes you got to be careful what they're teaching your kids. Mm. I shouldn't say this on the air, but I'm going to say this on the air. That was a very sensitive subject, but more so sensitive for Sean than it would be for me and Tiki. My son came home with a book last year, and I couldn't believe the subject matter of the book. Couldn't believe it. And I said, they're going to teach my kid this? It was called Big Poppy, the David Ortiz story.
No.
Swear to God. Swear to God. Swear to God. Like, we got to watch out what these teachers are teaching our kids. We're in New York. I'm in Westchester. They're teaching our kids about David Ortiz and the Red Sox.
It's probably a relocated Bostonian who had the choice of picking a curriculum around sports. Like, oh, this will be a good one.
Nah, you can't do that.
No, you can't. There's like 15 Barber Brother kid books. But just put those out there.
Right. My kid starts reading and he's like,
12 to be exact.
12? Not bad. See, that should be in the curriculum. My kid starts reading it, and this does not bother me as much as it would bother others in our audience. And Jed says to me, hey, Dad, I just read that the Yankees had a 3-0 lead on the Red Sox.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. You think I'm making this up?
They should not teach that in school.
Wow, that is harsh.
Yeah.
That is harsh.
I'm just warning up my fellow parents. Watch out.
That is cold-blooded.
You got to be careful what they're teaching your kids. Let's go to Colin or Wyckoff. What's up, Colin?
Gentlemen, good afternoon. How are we doing?
Excellent.
First and foremost, that's good to hear. First and foremost, you're teaching kids about the Red Sox. You should be turned into diapers. That's exactly
what I'm saying. I understand.
Number two, the Yankee fans are feeling what the Mets fans felt back in May and June with a bullpen blowing leads.
Yeah.
You got the best record. You don't have the best team. You by far are not the best team. How many runs have you left in scoring position in the last five games?
Yeah.
Don't lay the heavy on the bullpen. Lay the heavy on your guys hit and get the runs across.
Well, it's a part
I'm
of
not
it.
Preaching.
It's a part of it.
Well, like,
it's
whatever,
a part
you're leaving
of it.
Guys on base every inning.
No, I understand. Like, you're not wrong, and we brought it up earlier that they got shut down by Andrew Haney.
Yeah.
Their defense was lousy, especially late in the game. The Glaber double play potential, the DJ LeMahieu, I lost the ball in the lights. Like, they have flaws.
Yeah.
But, by the way, everybody's got flaws.
Right. 3-for-9 with runners in scoring position, by the way. 8 left on base.
Yeah. Look, scoring the amount of runs that they scored last night, all against the Texas bullpen late, it's not good enough. I agree. You know, I put this poll out there about a month ago, and I'm curious if Yankee fans would feel the same way. And I said, how does your October end? Does it end with a parade? Win the World Series? Does it end with the offense no showing? Does it end with the starting pitching failing? Or does it end with your closer struggling? I used Clay Holmes at the time, but I don't know if he's going to be the closer much longer.
It's got to be the closer.
At the time, it was all the offense.
No, no,
the
no.
The offense was the
really?
Number one blame at
when
the time.
This?
About 2 weeks ago. I could put the poll out again, see where it's at.
2 weeks ago, Clay still had 10 blown saves.
Dude, I literally put the poll up when Clay blew his 10th game.
Mm.
And it was still the offense, which I understand. And I think the reason that's still the offense is because when the Yankees have been knocked out of the postseason, that's usually the culprit. That's usually what ends up happening. But I'll do a reset on that poll. I've been doing that with Met fans, too. Like, every week I ask them, do you think the Mets are going to make the playoffs? And I've noticed a trend change, slowly but surely.
Is it more towards yes now?
Yes. It is, but it's still the majority of people saying no.
Well, I mean, it's,
but it's moving. It's getting closer.
I think it's mostly it's trending no because not trending, but it's sitting at no because of what they have to do to get there.
Right, right.
It's not them. I mean, they're 11 games over 500,
which
is a 22 game swing from where they were at the beginning of the year.
Right now, and I think Baseball Reference has this right. I will actually agree with them on this. Baseball Reference has the Mets' odds of making the playoffs sitting at about 45%, mm-hmm. a little bit less than 50.
It makes sense,
and I would actually agree with that.
Right,
I think
it's 50-50. Not all in their control. It's not. I mean, they've won 6 games in a row.
And they're still not in the playoffs.
They're still not in the playoffs.
Right.
I think it's sitting at no because not many people want to commit to positive Tommy leading them because he has proclaimed.
You think that's what it is?
I mean, when he says, I will lead us, maybe they know by clicking yes, that means I got to follow him.
I don't think it's related to that.
I think it is.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, I will lead us and say, like, do I want that?
Here's why I think you're wrong. So the last time I put that poll out was about 2 days ago. If I put that poll out right now with the vibes hitting the way they're hitting, I believe if I put that poll out right now, will the Mets make the playoffs for the first time all year, it would actually win. Mm. Yes would win. It'd be close, but I think yes would win. I think it's all about what have you done for me lately. That's the way people usually react to things. And lately, the Mets have been playing great baseball.
So should that be 80%?
No, I don't think it'll be. Because I still think there's that level of either they'll find a way to blow it, which is the negativity of the Mets fan, or, hey, this is just really difficult.
I think it's that.
Yeah.
I think it's mostly that. It's just going to be hard because the team that we have to get over is the Atlanta Braves, and we very rarely get over them.
Yes. That's why it would still be close because they still have a lot of work to do. Now, if I ask the Yankee fan today, all right, what are you most scared of come October? I think it comes down to the closer and the offense. The offense is still a big bugaboo because it always seems to fail them come October.
Yes, definitely. However, Jazz Chisholm and Juan Soto in this lineup gives me more confidence that it's absolutely the bullpen.
You just got shut down by Andrew Haney.
I understand that.
Okay.
I'm still seeing more positives and negatives with the offense, as long as we play the best 9.
Okay. I'll put that poll out in a few minutes. I'll give you the results. Let's go to Frank in Pearl River. What's up, Frank?
What up, Frank?
Hey, you hit all my spots in the 8th inning.
Yes.
Glaber's brain fart that he usually has. Also, DJ, who's not a first baseman, we all said that. If you watch, when the guy got on first base and that little dribble between first and second that nobody could get,
yeah,
DJ didn't even move out to cover that gap. after the pitch, he just stood on the base.
Yeah, what they need to do right now, and we talked about this late in the show yesterday when the Yankee lineup came out, and Tiki and I had a nice little spirited debate about Rizzo not playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I
why
said
he wasn't playing.
Yeah, my thought was he's just off the IL. They're taking it easy with him. You thought it was a lefty-lefty thing. I believe from here on forward, Anthony Rizzo just has to play first base every day.
Yep.
He just has to.
Oh, wait. He doesn't need a day off because he just came back.
No.
Yeah. Because you see what happens when he has a day off because he just came back.
But don't be mad at me.
I'm not. But
I
you
didn't
were
make the move.
I'm not. I'm just telling you. That was your excuse.
No, that was my explanation. Excuse. What do I work for, Aaron Boone?
Yeah.
No.
Clearly.
I'm explaining his thinking.
Makes
I didn't agree
no damn
with it.
Sense to have 2 days off. So the only way it made sense was if you were going righty-lefty or lefty-righty. In this case,
I think it was he just came back from the IL. We're being careful with him. And oh, by the way, there's a lefty on the mound. This is the perfect day to do it. We'll do it today. We won't do it tomorrow when Nate Eovaldi's on the mound. But Anthony Rizzo, and I'm going to take a leap of faith here because I remember what I said about Anthony Rizzo 3 months ago. And I'll tell you exactly what I said. I'll repeat it. What the hell happened to him? He looks bad defensively. He looks bad offensively. What's going on with Anthony Rizzo? I am willing, based on what happens when you don't see someone for a while, you start to love them more.
Mm.
Fondness grows the heart.
No.
Go ahead.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Bingo. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Ben Rice, not exactly Rico Bronya at first base. DJ LeMahieu, a confused puppy at first base. Oswaldo Cabrera, nice try. You're not a first baseman.
Right.
So I'm at the point of, you know what? Let me take the World Series champion, the guy who's won a few gold gloves, the guy who maybe still has it, and let me just stick him there every day, and I'll take my chances that defensively and offensively, he'll be a better option than the corpse that's DJ LeMahieu and the AAA player that's Ben Rice. That's how I kind of view it, despite Anthony Rizzo's struggles earlier this season.
I'll sign for that.
Thank you.
I'm good.
Now, Tiki, we're about to do something very, very interesting.
Yes.
When we come back, we are going to replay a Cinco de Fivo from April. Now, you may say, why are you doing that? Are you lazy?
Was it my birthday? Was that when we had the cake?
It was not that.
Not your birthday.
What was the cake?
Fudgy the Whale.
Fudgy the Whale.
Fudgy
cake.
The Whale.
That was also the show's birthday.
That's right. No, it wasn't. It was Tiki's birthday.
No, it was the show's birthday.
Oh, that was a different cake. Yeah.
It said, eat me, Tiki Barber.
That's right.
It was delicious, too.
Well, unfortunately, there is no cake for you today.
No fudgy today?
Nah. I get one for tomorrow if you want, though.
No.
But what we have is a Cinco de Fivo from a list that Sean Morash made in April that can help be our guide, help teach us about what the Yankees should do next. That Cinco de Fivo was, who will be the closer for the New York Yankees come October? And this was done 5 months ago. Will this help guide us on what the Yankees should do next? We'll take a listen to that. We got more of your calls coming up at 888-808-101.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.